Hello, this is Margot Kingston, and today I'm going to interview the, what would you call him, the breakout star of Independence Day. Kevin Mack has come from nowhere to be a serious challenge to Susan Ley, the Liberal, in the extremely safe Liberal seat of Farrer. 20% swing would be required. So hello, Kevin, and what on earth is going on in Farrer?
Well, who would know, Margot, because I've only been doing about 6,500 kilometres in the last 6 weeks, and I feel like I've done the last 10 in this last 2 weeks. But
yeah, it's a big seat, isn't it? Give us a quick portrait of the seat.
There's a lot of people out in Farrow, particularly Albury and beyond, that are really playing their cards close to their chest. I've never seen it before in an election. They're very uncertain about what they should do and who they should support. It's like they may upset each other if they tell each other they're not going to vote for the Liberals, or they may be voting for an independent. I don't know. It's really, there's a real interesting process going on there. We've just finished all the candidates forums, and essentially the incumbent was just very aggressive and basically singling me out at every opportunity. And I just, you know, sat back and let it unfold. But I just think that people are very frustrated with both major political parties, and they just want to see someone stand up for them and have a voice for them. And I think Cathy McGowan's efforts, and I know it's well documented about Cathy's efforts with Voices for Indi, but you know we're 8 years behind Voices for Indi. But gee, it's been an exciting ride, I must say, with a very small but committed team.
So you you've got a Voices for Farrer that sort of laid the groundwork for your campaign. How long has that been operating, and how has it operated?
Well, we only started that back in mid-December. So essentially, you know, it's selected a candidate by January, which was me, and basically the purpose of Voices of Farrer was to get people in Farrer on board and start the ball rolling. And once the candidate was selected, then the candidate was launched on the 22nd of February, and in that period of time, which is just nearly February, March, April, is it 2 months or 3 months? My brain is scalded, but whatever it is.
I think it's three.
Yeah, well, in 3 months, the major water is in the top five major issues for both political parties in this country. Farrer is on the national stage, and thanks to The Guardian and a lot of other independents, because we relied upon our local affiliates, and we would be getting bugger all. And that's what I expect when I run for local government as well. The Liberal candidates who are truly independent always get all the rub of the green, and I just have to continue to struggle out there. But there's a lot of people out there struggling, and I think that's why I took it on. I can't afford to see people struggling, and I can't afford to see people upset. And my job's been spent the last 42 years trying to keep people happy, and you know that's what it's about.
So you're a former mayor of Albury and a long-term resident. Were you born in Farrer?
No, I was actually born in Victoria. I'm Victorian born and bred. I spent years of my life up in the high country in Corryong, living on a property owned by Tom Mitchell, who used to be the MLA in the Victorian Parliament back in the 40s. All the way up to the 70s and 80s. He was a great guy, and Elaine Mitchell wrote the Silver Brumby books. But policeman of 42 years in Victoria Police, lived in Albury since 1986. But I'm still the mayor. I haven't, unless you know something I don't know. But
you're still the mayor.
I've stepped away during this campaign period. But, you know, I spent 6 years out of 8 years as mayor of Albury. And the reason why, well, I was a deputy mayor for one of those years, so you may as well say I've spent 7 years out of 8 years in executive positions at council. And the issue for me, and not the issue, but the focus of my focus, is that I'd rather be driving that bus and actually making a difference. And look, in Albury, that'll stand the test of time on Saturday, but I think we've done a great job as councillors, and certainly under my leadership, we've run a very good, solid council, and we've devoted a lot of time and a lot of projects to Albury, and we're considered to be regionally New South Wales one of the best councils in New South Wales. But that's not my doing. But I'm just suggesting that we really are doing well, and Albury looks a picture. And I think Farah could look at picture two if they had a few more solutions out there and they had a few more services that people in the city take for granted. And when health is a basic need and they're not getting what they need, it really, really worries me that, you know, we can't provide general practitioners for health needs of our aging and needy communities. I mean, where are we at as a country? I think that's a real sadness that, and it's a basic one, you know, it's a simple one that why are the governments of the day ignoring the needs of regional Australia? And that's my concern. And that flows on for health, from health to everything else, connectivity, public transport, NDIS, higher education, you know, it just keeps domestic violence, everything. It just, people in rural and regional Australia go without, and we're very, we take things for granted and we're very apathetic in our approach. But I think right now, people in regional Australia, and particularly in Farah, are just saying we've had enough.
So you've been in Farah for 32 years. Have you ever seen anything like the number of forums and the advertising? Have you ever seen Farah sort of lit up with democratic activity like this before?
No, no. I know, look, in the 18 years that the incumbent has been in power, she's never had to fight for anything. She fought for it in the first year against Bill Bott, who was the national candidate and won by the margin. But since then, it's just been clear sailing. And again, in my short term on council, I've learned that if you make a seat so safe, basically the needs of the community are neglected. And I think, you know, local government shifting of services and funding to local government is around 30% now. So local government is providing both state and federal services at a cost to the ratepayers. And we see that happening more and more. And they spend money on ridiculous projects or ridiculous services and they waste money all over the place and they don't really want to fix our problems. And they just want to keep building tunnels and bridges in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane. And then they offer us an inland rail. I mean, seriously, what are they going to find this inland freight train? Fresh air? Because the way they're going, 40% of our food bulk comes from the Farah. We've got no water to produce anything. So what are we going to do? Start buying in food from overseas countries that don't have sanitary practices when they produce food. And by the time we finish, their solution is bring in food, bring in energy. It looks like, you know, it's a BYO Australia. Let's bring it all in and then we won't have anything to live for. So, you know, I get the impression, and this is not a, this is a bold statement, but this is a statement that's been made to me by a number of people in different services and in the community of Farah. They really feel like they're just not wanted. They really feel like they're trying to push them all closer to Albury or closer to the Great Divide so they don't have to worry about them. Because, hey, we don't have enough money to look after you guys. We're too busy spending money on our safe seats, on our marginal seats in Sydney and in Melbourne and Adelaide.
Well, I had a chat to Ray Kingston, who's standing in Mallee yesterday, and he said, oh, at least this democratic uprising is bringing some money into our electorate because the Nats are spending a fortune. What sort of spending is going on to try and save the seat of Farah for the Libs?
Oh, look, very piecemeal. I think, you know, there was an ad in Dunedin paper on Friday, Susan guaranteeing $1.3 million to the local hospital, and the local hospital, that's the first they'd heard about it. So there's hundreds of thousands being dallied around by the Liberal Party here, but nothing. I really would have thought there would have been a major announcement. I don't know what it could be, but it could be anything. But they've announced money for Davey Road here in Albury, which we've been fighting for 8 or 9 years, which is a major project to connect a residential corridor and a large industrial corridor, which is north of the city, which is a byproduct of a B-class freeway that they did back in 2006. But apart from that, no, not like Indi. Indi is going berserk. I don't know how they're going to find the money. I think they'll be in deficit just funding Indi, but I don't know what's happening in Mallee. But here in Albury, there's been, yeah, just trickles. And I think maybe they take it for granted that 20% is 20% and, you know, we're safe. But, yeah, the feeling I'm getting, the street feeling is not so safe. So, you know, we'll just keep. I mean, the money, people see through the money.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty good indication that you better be a marginal seat if you start getting things you've been fighting for a decade at the last minute, isn't it? Like, maybe people can join the dots.
Well, you know, the money, there's been money thrown around Griffith a bit recently. She's been up there very busy promising things in Griffith, but money for a hospital, money for this and money for that, but there's no figure on it. And I think, you know, it's a bit like Utopia. They launched a Warren Bangle is a WR Connect rail hub of the future. And it's like, let's put a sign up and announce it, and we won't have any budget for it. We won't have any. So Paul Toolan herself and the two mayors up there stood on a platform and said, this is where it'll be built. It's, you know, a bit like Rod Stitch and the crew on Utopia. I thought it was hilarious. Yep. There's no solid money. The water issue has not been, has certainly not been addressed. The Royal Commission into Water certainly not has been raised. GOMO has been mentioning that he will look into a review of the Murray-Darling Basin plan. But there's been no significant commitments, and the incumbent is just talking about a lot of false, empty promises. But, you know, and look, I don't have any ill will towards the incumbent. I just think being constrained by party policies. The party's only got so much money to pledge everywhere else, and you know, they have to draw the line somewhere. And whether or not they believe they're safe here or not safe, they've got a 20% margin, but. Like I said, I think the feeling is the seat has been marginalised. Yeah. I think we are feeling the impacts of that marginalisation in terms of the national attention we've got. We are coming up with some really solid returns from the community about what they want and why they want it. And they just want bare minimum services, you know. I mean, is it too much to ask for? I just don't get it. And I think Gabriel captured that mood. It's the same in Hay, it's the same in Griffith, but I don't know. Everyone's different, and we'll find out on Saturday, I suppose. But win, lose, or draw, I think Di and the team and everyone else have worked really hard to do what we've done. And as I said, thanks to the affiliates, thanks to the independent sources like The Guardian and other areas of social platforms, we've been able to get a message out there that needed to be translated and needed to be transmitted. And, you know, I don't think, again, you've seen so much tension on Farah in its history. Yeah, so it's fantastic.
So I think that the trick of your campaign is, as a city-based person, Albury's the major city, you've managed to get a coalition of the city and a lot of farmers due to your concentration on water. And I'm wondering whether that the Watergate story that broke just before Easter and the joint statement that the independents signed gave your campaign the momentum it needed to sort of just jump over that hump of, is he viable? Can he really do it? What would you say to that?
Look, I think the game changer, to be fair, it was a discussion I had with the Voices for Farron and the Southern Region Irrigators when they wanted to take a campaign or a rally to Canberra. And my suggestion was they need to bring it to Albury, which they did.
And yes, I remember that well.
That was a game changer, and that got the national media's attention. And basically Watergate fell into that the very next weekend, because it was over Easter when it was the Friday night or Thursday night before Easter that was then exposed. So on the Tuesday, we're doing the rally in Albury, which gained national attention. On Thursday, everything flowed like water very well, and certainly it has continued to flow that way. And now the SRI have put a civil suit together against the MDBA for $750 million of costs associated with failing to supply them with water allocation, and that's income loss on behalf of their 2,200 members. And I think that too in itself has far-reaching consequences for the government. And this is not, this is not just airy-fairy, oh, look, we could have, we would. This is real stuff that farmers and irrigators and people are hurting in general. Mm. And if people can make a big issue about water, they can make a big issue about anything. You know, and I think energy is one of those bigger issues that, again, in this debate has not been challenged. And I think, you know, I made a point, and I've sent it, we've sent it back to your policy people, but You know, the big opportunity for us as a country is we've got Asia that is busting at the seams with recycling issues, and like they just pollute the seas, and we could do what Sweden have done and build a significant energy waste to energy generator and create clean emissions in the atmosphere. And I'm not a green person. I've been fighting this one for weeks too. But as a bipartisan approach to a big problem, we could reverse that export trade in China and say to China, we're your solution.
Yep.
We are open for business, and we could create an energy diffuser that could potentially service 220,000 homes. I mean, where is our next big project? I mean, Snowy Hydro 2 is dead in the water. I don't think it can work. I think the engineering and the economics don't stack up. But that type of project has been proven in Sweden. It filters the emissions, so there's no or limited CO2 emissions into the atmosphere, and you're burning everyone's garbage, and you are solving a significant problem. And it could be placed anywhere in the anywhere in any state and service those homes and provide cheaper energy and solve a major recycling crisis for Asia.
Yeah.
And we'd make a lot of money out of it. They'd be shipping all their stuff back here. There's a straight up export market that we could, or import market we could easily tap into, but no one's thinking about it. They're all thinking about, oh, well, what can we do in 3 years' time?
Now, Kevin, the Independence Day video, it did go down well, I understand, but you've had a fair bit of blowback from it. This idea that somehow you're in league with the lefties in Sydney. can you take us through how that's worked out for you?
Well, look, there are 19 candidates that signed up to that video, and Susan or the Labor and Liberal, or the Liberal more so, have targeted three of those candidates because they're, you know, there's Zali Steggall, Karen Phelps, and the other one was
Julia Banks. Okay.
Julia Banks. So they've targeted Julia Banks, Karen Phelps, and Zali Steggall. It just so happens they're all challenging with strong challenges against Liberal candidates. And
Funny that.
But
there's a National Party candidate in there too, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And he's preferencing the Nats. I mean, they're all genuine independents.
But don't ever let the truth get in the way of it.
No.
So because of three of those candidates being significant challenges to the mothership, they've singled me out as a Labor or a Green on the basis of three people. And my climate change policies are the same. And seriously, it has had raised a lot of questions for people in Farrer, but the thing for them is that they need to believe in the process. And we've been, you know, really frustrated by the forums, the forums where the candidate forums are that this incumbent trots out. And by the way, and I'm thinking, oh, here we go again. And on Monday night, I said, look, let's be real about this. Three out of 19 candidates, we all have a policy on something, and we all share the same policies. But our policies are different because in Farrer, our climate change policy is totally different than what they would have in Sydney, Melbourne, or a suburban environment. So we understand our farmers and certainly our communities work really hard at being climatologists. So, you know, what we do in Farrer is totally different. And that's the way of independence. We can pick and choose and determine what the outcomes are and what our position is on climate change. Our young people want a future. And we need to ensure that future is a good future. And like I said about the waste-to-energy inverter, I mean, people in Farrer have no issue with that.
Yeah.
Because if they're getting cheaper energy and see a benefit for their nation, that to me is a position on climate change. So, but that doesn't affect their farming. That doesn't affect their farming.
Well, the other point that Ray Kingston made in Mallee, he made two points. He said he loved being in it first because Mallee got noticed. And, you know, you need the cities to understand rural issues to, you know, you need them. And the second was that he liked the opportunity of being able to talk to city and regional independents and sort of, you know, find out where the common ground was. Like, not adversarial like the big two.
No. And look, I think, as I said, there's 16 other independents who spoke in that video. I had a very limited speaking part, which is great because I'm not the most attractive candidate. But
I liked you beside the Murray.
Yeah, My climate change policy, as I said, is quite different to everyone else's. I just think my waste to energy idea has merit, and that doesn't impact upon my community. That just makes a strong statement or bold statement that this government, both sides of the government, need to have a 10-year plan or 20-year plan for the country and build the necessary infrastructure together to deliver on that plan and stop stuffing us around. Because I found it as a councillor in this city, people are happy to pay higher rates if they see a return for those rates.
Yep.
And in this country, people have indicated they'd pay a higher Medicare levy if our most vulnerable people on NDIS got a return for their service.
Yep.
We're happy to do that, but we're not happy to see our money wasted. So if our government said we could build a waste energy inverter for $20 billion and it would cost, we'd have to put a tax on that for the next 10 years, but we would build it in that period, people would say, go for it.
Yeah.
We want that because we can see cheaper energy, we can see a recycling crisis solved, we can see bringing in everyone else's crap and we can burn that and make money out of it. Wacko, well, let's go, guys, and we can get energy out of it as well. Let's make it happen. Or we build another reservoir, or we build something to capture the rain that falls from the sky, or improve on the current infrastructure we have, so we can actually future-proof our country. At the moment, we're just selling it off to the highest bidder, and look, at the moment, it appears to be China.
Do you think Susan's seriously worried? Because I did hear on the ABC that Morrison could come back to Indi this week, which they thought Indi was in the bag. So if they're going to Indi, I assume they'll go to Farah. So I'm just wondering what your feeling is about how the Libs are feeling about Farah.
Well, Morrison's in Wangaratta this morning to ask you a question.
Is he?
Yep. And there's some concern, not concern of mine, but there's some discussion. He may travel through Albury on the way back and make an announcement of some kind, but we haven't heard anything. But yeah, look, I don't disagree with you. The fact he was here last week is a very, and I thought it was quite amusing. He was here last week and was supposed to make an announcement for Albury and didn't, but made an announcement in Wodonga, which is interesting. And now he's making further announcements in Wangaratta. So clearly they're not as solid in Indi as they felt. And I think, again, the omnipresence of the Prime Minister in Indi or Farah or on the border per se is also self-evident, isn't it? That they're not. They're not solid and they're not confident that they can win it. And I think, you know, either side of the river is up for grabs at this point, and whoever wins is the deserved winner. It's not a personal issue. We have run a great campaign, and I reiterate, I've had great people around me during that campaign, including yourselves, including everyone that wants to provide independent voice for our community. I think what you stand for is truly reflective of what the community expect: transparency, honesty, and fairness. And they're the things that we need in our community. And I don't believe that either of our major parties have provided that in the last 50 years. So let's get it done. We need an integrity commission at the highest level.
Absolutely. To
the bureaucratic bungling and our politicians. We've got them at state level. Why do they resist on having it at federal level? The question I ask as a former policeman is, why are they resisting that approach?
Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The only way to clean up your backyard is actually make a significant commitment that we will provide an integrity commission at the federal level to oversight bureaucrats and politicians and make them accountable to people of this country. And to me, that's the starting point for a lot of things. But for me and Farah, I want water.
Yeah.
I'm the water member. So I'm the water candidate, and I'm very proud to be standing up for something and actually understanding what I need to achieve. But as I said before, there are a lot of other issues that are linked with water, and I think services in this electorate and across regional Australia, rural and regional Australia, rural and regional Farah, are being neglected. And hopefully this people will speak out on Saturday and it'll be a positive result for the independent.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and really wish you luck and give my regards to Di. You've got a top chief of staff there.
And, I know I have. Diane Simon Dalhunty. How could you want anything more than that?
Yeah, look, good luck. I really hope you win. I hope it's a big Independence Day on Saturday.
Look, thank you for your support and good luck reporting it all.
Pleasure. Thanks, Kevin.
Listen, if it's my last chance to say something nationally, go get them, Independence.
Yeah, absolutely.